This crowd rises to its feet. Vaccaro slammed it home. Garland left wing. Free ball. Perfect. Garland went to the lane. Locked the Mobley. Pow. And Allen blocked the shot at the rim. Pow with the left hand and a foul.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Cavs Media family. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. The Chase Down is presented by FuboTV. Watch over 100 channels of live sports and TV for half the cost of cable. There's no contract and no commitment. Try for free at FuboTV.com. The Cleveland Cavaliers are once again streaking with a statement win over the Milwaukee Bucks. And speaking of all the way back, my co-host Carter Rodriguez is in the house. Carter, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, Justin, I show up when it matters, you know, after a week away on a work trip. Thank you so much for covering me. Oh, we're back on a banger, my friend. The Cavaliers absorb a furious charge from the Bucks to overcome a Cavalier double-digit lead, and they hang on. They win by 8, and man, does it feel good. This team is one game out of the best record in the entire NBA.
Woo!
And I am just so damn impressed.
It absolutely was a statement win, a massive, massive win. I think you and I are on the same page that we both have the Milwaukee Bucks as the best team in the NBA. And for my money, I think the two best teams in the NBA are in the Eastern Conference, in both the Bucks and Celtics. I give them the nod. But the Cleveland Cavaliers are right there in terms of regular season performance, which is basically the best case scenario. This is what we've been hoping for. And getting this win over Milwaukee is absolutely massive, especially on a night where Brooklyn got another win and Boston dropped a game to the Indiana Pacers. So the Cavs are in a great spot. And where do you even want to start with this one? Because I think we should probably start with just how good of a start it was for the Cavs in this game. They set the tone early on, similar to what we saw in that last game in Milwaukee, where they kind of really came out, set the tone, absorbed some runs from the Bucks. And I thought that the way that they closed quarters in the first half was massive, especially when you end up looking at the end result of the game and how much closer Milwaukee was able to make it.
I mean, I'd say closed quarters in all four quarters. I mean, I think Bucks hard charged in each spot. And, I've made no secret that I think this is the best team in the league. I might think they're the best team in the league when they don't have Chris Middleton. Yeah. That's how highly I think of this roster and how highly I think of Giannis, who I think is the best player in the world.
They just beat a very good Pelicans team two nights before in New Orleans, who they've been the cream of the West so far. So Cream City, Milwaukee Bucks have been rolling with whoever they put in the lineup.
Yeah, so I think that the Cavs really, you're not going to have many games against a team of this caliber where you don't get punched in the mouth a few times. And boy, did those punches come. You know, Giannis, I thought Jarrett played amazing defense on Giannis. I know no one wants to hear me start this pod praising the Bucks, but I think it underscores how impressive the win was, because I thought Jared Allen was playing unbelievable defense on Giannis, and he had 45 points on 27 shots, 14 boards, and 4 assists. I think that goes to show you just how good he is and why, you know, everyone who has to root against this guy is so scared of this Bucks team. But I thought the Cavs really absorbed the blows. Then, you know, when you can't get stops because a star is just going absolutely bananas, you got to find a way to manufacture buckets, manufacture points. The Cavs were able to do that each time. I thought Darius really, really answered. He didn't have like a crazy efficient night, 9 of 19 for 23 points, but I thought almost every one of his 9 buckets seemed to matter within the flow of the game.
Yeah, especially that late one over the arms of, I believe, both Giannis and Brook Lopez.
Yeah, heck of a shot from Darius. And then obviously Donnie, you know, 16 free throw attempts to match Giannis. And he was able to generate, you know, an angle or and draw a foul every time it mattered, every time they needed to. And it really, I think, slowed the Bucks' momentum. You know, nothing kills a run quite like getting to the line. And I thought the Cavs did a really, really good job of weathering the storm. And, man, just super proud of this team for how they went out and won this game.
Yeah, this is a game that they lose earlier in the season, right? Like, I think when you saw the calls not necessarily going their way, you know, frustrated, defending Giannis is basically the most difficult thing to do because you kind of have to just stay with him, take the contact, and then it's basically on the officials to decide whether or not you were moving enough, whether or not he was going straight into your chest. But he's a running back. He's Marshawn Lynch. It just hits you over and over and over again, and you have to absorb those blows. And in a game where Evan Mobley got in foul trouble, when you didn't have the bodies of Dean Wade and Lamar Stevens to throw at Giannis and absorb some of that contact and absorb some of those fouls, this is a game that could get it out of hand, that the Cavs could have let slip away. A lot of 50-50 calls. Some went the Cavs' way, some didn't. They were frustrated at the calls, but they didn't let that completely rattle them. And we've been on the other side of games like this, especially when we had LeBron, where it's a meaningful game, one of those measuring stick games, and Giannis did what superstars do. He did what the best player in the game does, which is will his team back into this game. And this wasn't like the Bucks game that they had, a week or two ago against Memphis, where they got down by 20 early on and then just kind of pulled the plug, right? The Bucks knew that this game mattered. This game mattered to both teams, and they completely just kept coming at the Cavs. It's a game of run. Cavs responded with a bunch of runs of their own, and when it really kind of came down to it, the Cleveland was able to find a way to win, and I'm just really, really impressed by this effort because even though a lot of things went their way, not everything went their way. I didn't think everyone had like outlier great games. I think they could play better than this, but against a defense as good as Milwaukee, the fact that when you needed to, you were able to trade buckets and you were able to get them when it counted, I think really says a lot about kind of the growth and maturity that this team is showing in season.
Yeah, absolutely. And another note that I think is kind of meaningful coming out of this one, I think it's really important that the Cavs actually won this game with their offense. They put up a 116 offensive rating in this game. And, you know, their other marquee wins this year, as far as I'm concerned, especially both games against Boston, they were much more defensive struggles. Mm-hmm. Where the Cavs defense was at, you know, an unbelievable level, and you know, and they got just enough buckets to win. I don't think that this was the case. I think when they ran their stuff, they generated great looks tonight. Yeah. Against, I think, you know, if other than the Cavs, the best defense in the league. And frankly, like, and I'll say this, I do think they have a higher defensive ceiling than the Cavs at this present moment.
Yeah.
So I just was really pleased. You know, I really think that they only kind of broke from what they should be doing a couple times, especially in the fourth when Giannis was the lone big and they were kind of running pick and roll with Isaac instead of pulling Giannis out of the paint. Once they pulled Giannis out of the paint, they were able to get some good looks. But man, I just thought, you know, I thought they got everything they needed to get tonight. Like, it wasn't a hyper reliant night on shot making for this team. I think their offense worked.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you're right. Coming into this game, Milwaukee was the second best defense in the league behind the Cavs. That's no longer the case because the Cavs dropped a 116 rating on them, and now they're behind the Philadelphia 76ers. Like, this is a really, really impressive win. And I think one of the other kind of important differences between this game and some of the ones you would have lost earlier this season was the good start. The Cavs starting lineup throughout the season has been a bit of a struggle, where even in the wins, those lineups would come up with a negative net rating overall, just kind of trying to find something that works. And I thought Isaac Okoro has been fantastic over these last three starts. He's been doing exactly what you want to see. Would have loved to see him knock down one of those three-pointers in the fourth quarter, but I was encouraged by the fact that he took both of those shots without hesitating, right? Like, he's taking the looks that are available. He created additional opportunities with his rebounding. And man, I don't think the Bucks are going to be inviting Okoro over for Christmas anytime soon, because they kept repeating that they ruined his holiday. And Drew Holiday was...
You're in trouble for that one, brother. Come on.
I didn't even deliver it as well as I hope, but you know what?
Like, I think you delivered it as well as that joke deserved.
Isaac Okoro absolutely ruined the Bucks' holiday. Jrue Holiday was basically a non-factor in this game for the majority of it, especially when Okoro was in there. And you could tell he was bothered. He wasn't able to get his shot off, left a bunch of them short, was just frustrated overall. And that's exactly the type of point of attack defense that Okoro can bring that basically no one else on this roster is capable of that kind of game at the point of attack defensively. And when he's adding that with his ability to get out in transition, to push the pace, the cutting that he's been doing recently, right? Like, this is the type of stuff that we wanted to see from Okoro. And honestly, this is the level of play we saw from Okoro in the preseason. And it just seemed like at the start of the year, the confidence kind of went away from him. I don't know if it was because he didn't get the starting job, but it's nice to see him make the most of this opportunity because he's been really good, and so has that lineup in these last three games.
If you're watching on YouTube right now, I mean, the amount of no chance field goal attempts that Jrue Holiday put up against Okoro today were truly, I mean, it was as locked down as it gets, you know? Like, Drew's great, and obviously this is a good matchup for Isaac. Drew's greatest strength is his strength offensively. You know, he loves to bully smaller guards, and he doesn't get to do that against Isaac. And man, he was putting up some, I mean, just no shots. And, you know, when with Middleton not in the game, like, they really rely on Drew to create good offense when Giannis isn't the one creating it. And yeah, you couldn't be more pleased with Isaac on the defensive end of the ball. I thought he also played really strong off-ball defense. Had some nice dig and recovers on Giannis drives. And then on the offensive side of the ball, 3 assists and 2 made threes. Like, I don't need more. Like, no. I really don't. Like, obviously, like, you want to get to the point where he is making enough threes that, you know, teams want to close out on him. But in terms of, like, just raw output, I really don't need a ton more if he's going to play defense like that than 8-3-3. You know, I maybe that's damning with faint praise, but, like, I really liked the game he played tonight, especially in the first half. And frankly, I thought he deserved more than 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. I think that the minutes that went to Karras to close the game should have gone to Isaac.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would have liked to see him come back a little sooner in the fourth quarter. I think the Bucks got a little too comfortable in that stretch. But overall, just really pleased with him and that lineup in general. The Cavs starting five over these three games has a plus 10.7 net rating, which is just awesome. That's kind of the first kind of time we've seen this year a starting lineup kind of really click in this way. So it'll be interesting to see if Lamar Stevens comes back, whether or not they go back to it. The Cavs do have a very good record when Lamar starts as well. So you don't know if JB maybe is going to go with kind of the philosophy that you don't lose your job or starting job due to injury or what the case may be. But right now, Okoro definitely seems to be the hot hand. And at the very least, it's really encouraging because when he was struggling earlier in this year, the whole reason that we said you have to ride this out is because this upside is here, right? Like, the what he can bring to the table is something that almost no one else on this team can at this level. And the possibility of him being that 3-and-D option, that glue guy that kind of completes these lineups with the talent that the Cavs have at the guard and forward positions, it's enticing, right? And even if it is just 24 minutes a night of very good play from him, that could make a really, really big difference, just like it has in these last three games.
Yeah, just super, super pleased with his effort. I've really enjoyed watching him get on transition. He makes this team a little bit more athletic, a little more explosive on the perimeter. Just a really, really nice stretch for Isaac. I think it's really something to build upon. I think, again, it kind of shows that some players just kind of need to be around better, you know, more talent, to thrive. I think your Tristan Thompson, your guard Tristan Thompson, has really helped, you know, shown some merit in these last three games, and I've been really impressed. Can I slightly diverge to talk about how good I thought Donovan Mitchell was on defense in this game.
Oh yeah, you can go there. I was going to go a different direction, but go ahead.
Oh my gosh, the play where he tied up Grayson Allen.
Ooh.
He was playing 2-on-1 on defense, just scrambling between two good 3-point shooters and closing the gap each time. When I think they were expecting it to get easier, and then played, you know, and with balanced closeouts. This is the kind of nitty gritty stuff that like is not particularly sexy.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he did so well tonight, and like a game like this, the way he was defending in crunch time really made me feel that much more comfortable that this is not going to be a problem in the postseason with him locked in. If he can play focused and he can play locked in, like we always knew the physical talent was not an issue with him defensively, but man, I thought he really showed it tonight. I thought he played really, really strong defense on those Bucks guards, who can kill you.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree. Honestly, this is one of those proof of concept games, right? Like when you put together this team, you make some concessions, right? They moved on from Lowry Marketon, who worked incredibly well with Mobley and Allen, and it was great to see him in Cleveland in that Utah game. I'm going to continue rooting for Lowry, but you made some concessions there because you believed that this guard tandem could really work. And I thought Milwaukee very intentionally was trying to take away passing lanes from Darius Garland, right? Like they know that the Cavs offense, it starts with him. And I thought that the Cavs did a really good job of, okay, they're kind of cheating. They're taking away those passing lanes. And all of a sudden, Garland, you know, swings it to Mitchell, who had 6 assists, gives it up to Allen, who had 3 assists and continues to show his growth in that area. Kevin Love with 5 assists. Isaac Okoro chipped in with 3 assists, right? Like the secondary playmaking is all there. And that release valve, when teams do kind of cheat over and try to take that away from Garland, now you have other options when you wouldn't have had that last year. And the fact that Mitchell provides that, he provides the 36 points, he provides the improved defense, like you said, like this is exactly what you wanted to see from this tandem. And I want to highlight Jared Allen. I thought he had his best game of the season, I would argue. I think he's had bigger scoring outputs, but the beating that he took in this game, the fact that he had to play 40 minutes with Mobley in foul trouble, 8 of 10 shooting, I thought he made a lot of clutch hustle plays. The assists, like I mentioned, got a steal, probably should have been credited for a block on the Giannis layup, but that's another story. I thought he was absolutely fantastic, and this is probably a good time for us to mention, Carter, that All-Star voting is open, and Darius Garland, Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, Donovan Mitchell. Mitchell's the best guard in the Eastern Conference right now. And I've seen some people mention Darius Garland, like, oh, is he an All-Star this year? He's averaging more points per game than he did pre-All-Star break last season, and this team's a game out of first place. He is absolutely an All-Star. Jared Allen deserves to be an All-Star again. And you know what? Let's get greedy. Let's get Evan Mobley in there too, because he continues to improve. Vote early, vote often, get these guys in. I know we've sent some talent to Utah before, but trust me, if we send talent to Utah this time, they will come back after the All-Star break.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is a real case for this team to get to 3 All-Stars, you know, as a starting point. You know, I still think Mobley's not quite ready, you know, relative. And, yeah. You know, 4 All-Stars, pretty greedy.
No,
I mean, if it happens, great, but
4
you
is
know.
Greedy. Four is greedy. Right now, my power rankings would be Mitchell, Garland, Allen. But honestly, with how deep the talent is in the league right now, how deep the talent is in the Eastern Conference, like I think probably like 2 is a realistic hope. But I mean, if you want to get more in there, winning and taking care of these statement games is your
and
best
voting.
Path to it. Yeah, and voting, absolutely.
Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Make your daily vote. Is it still daily? I think it's still daily.
Yep, it's still daily.
Awesome. Well, yeah, man. I thought Jarrett was awesome tonight. I really think he did play about as good defensively on Giannis as you can. The fact that he did all that while only fouling once and staying in the game.
That's nuts.
is really, really important. And like, I think it's one of those nights where, you know, you hate to be cliche, you know, local high school basketball coach here, but the only number that I really care about with Jarrett's box score tonight is plus 16. Dude played 40 minutes and they were plus 16 in those minutes.
Look, man, cliches exist for a reason, and the only video conferencing app that I care about is Zoom. Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Zoom. 500,000 businesses connect using Zoom, a single platform for phone, chat, workspaces, events, apps, and video. Zoom enables real-time collaboration for teams around the globe. Zoom, how the world connects.
Absolutely, Justin. I don't know if your transitions and puns are where they need to be today, but we'll get you there.
You know, it's okay. It's post game. I'm a little tired.
I'm still feeling so hyped, man. I'm on a high.
Hands are a little shaky.
I'll tell you this much, man. I tweeted this joke, but it's barely a joke. That game showed me that I'm not in game shape for playoff basketball yet, because my heart was pounding through my chest. Like, and I tweeted this as well. I couldn't believe how long that fourth quarter took.
Oh,
like I was crapping my pants, and I looked at the clock and there were 7 minutes left. I'm like, what is going on? So, you know, it was, man, they just keep coming and coming and coming. Giannis was so freaking good in this game, but man, Jarrett really, I thought, played an awesome game. And we got to give Kevin his flowers, because I think it has been an immensely challenging month for Kevin Love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's, you know, right now his season in general has been challenging. You know, he gets hurt. He's only averaging 9-7 right now, in the month of December. It has not been, you know, a fun one. He's averaging 5.8 points and 6 boards, shooting 35% from the field, 27 from three. And I thought he really steadied them tonight. I thought he played really, really good defense. You know, I thought his movement was really good. You know, obviously he's not going to ever be a perfect defender, but he led the team in rebounding. He kept things moving on the offensive end. And hit some timely threes when it mattered. Like, I thought he was really, really good. You know, 9-9-5 is not exactly a needle mover line, but I was really impressed.
I think that's a good show, man. Like, I think we're starting to see some signs of life, that he might be getting a little healthier, that the hand isn't bothering him as much. He's starting to get three-pointers up at a higher rate, and it's looking better coming out of his hand. So that's really encouraging, but I agree with you. Like, this is the kind of like veteran leadership and glue guy things that you expect from Kevin Love. And we're soon going to be getting another veteran back in Ricky Rubio. I think Brian Windhorst just said on the Hoop Collective that maybe first week of January might be a target. So help's going to be coming on the way, man. Like, this team's getting into a groove, and Ricky Rubio, Dean Wade, I saw videos of him kind of participating in some light shoot arounds. He's a big part of this thing too, right? Like, he makes a big difference. This is exciting that the Cavs are starting to find a groove, and it's going to be really important, because that January schedule is a behemoth. Like, it sucks. It's going to really, really kind of be a measuring stick month for this team. And you know what? The funny thing is, we saw a game like this earlier in Toronto, where the Cavs kind of got blitzed on the road in Toronto. And we had mentioned the value of Toronto having that extended stretch at home, where you get to practice, where you kind of get to overcome some of the things that you've been working through and iron out some of the wrinkles. And I think we're seeing some of that with Cleveland right now, this extended homestand, having the opportunity to practice. You don't have to worry about traveling. You can start integrating some guys back into the lineup and getting some practice time with them. I think it really is starting to pay some dividends. And like the game against Utah, we haven't touched on it much because the Milwaukee game's been so good, but that was one of their best performances of the season against a very good Utah team that's challenged a lot of contenders and good teams all throughout the season. So I think you're starting to see some of the fruits of this homestand, and hopefully it continues, because the tough games don't stop here. Like, Toronto just ended the Knicks losing streak, and they come to town on Friday. After that, you have a massive game against Brooklyn, and then you head on the road for two big divisional games. Like, we're still in the thick of a very, very important stretch for the Cavs season.
Justin, I, as as tough of a matchup as I think Milwaukee is for us, I think they're the toughest matchup for us in the entire league, just from a personnel perspective. I think we match up well against this Brooklyn team.
I think so, too. But I'm also nervous.
Oh, sure. I mean, they're playing maybe the best basketball of anyone right now. They dropped 91 points and a half today, which is high comedy.
We played the Warriors at the wrong time of the year.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, pal. We sure did. but, you know, like they're playing amazing, but with between Mobley and Allen, I think we can really help protect the paint against them. They do not rebound well. We are one of the best rebounding teams in the league right now.
It's going to be a real test for the offense, because Brooklyn's stretch here has been them getting back to basics and playing very good team defense, right? Like, Claxton has taken a major step forward. Like, you're going to have to really execute, because even Kevin Durant, he's back to, you know, now that he has more help around him, he's playing a more balanced overall team game. He's able to provide that help defense. And I mean, we can see a parallel there to Donovan Mitchell coming from Utah, where he was asked to do too much. And now that there's more support around him, he's able to play a more well-rounded game, right? Like, I think it was something that was overlooked when we talked about the possibility of Mitchell prior to the trade, certainly by myself. But you have to consider team context when you look at all kind of like just the box score numbers and, okay, well, what are they doing on the defensive end? Like, so much of it depends on who you have around you. And right now, Brooklyn is looking like a very complete team, and it's going to be a real test for them.
Yeah, they are playing awesome basketball. They're also playing absolutely enormous lineups.
Yeah.
I mean, Ben Simmons, Joe Harris, Royce O'Neal, Kevin Durant, Nick Claxton. There's not a guy under 6'6 on the floor there. Mm-hmm. And they have, you know, some of the best shooting in the league. They've got great shot creation, but I think this Cavs team is particularly well built to guard isolation scorers, especially bigger isolation scorers, with Mobley and Allen being able to switch so well. And they're not going to kill you on the offensive boards, with the exception of Claxton. So I think it's a good matchup. And man, if the Cavs can close out this December as strong as they've been playing in mid-December, like, this team might have the best record in the league at the end of the month.
It's very possible. I mean, this win is so significant too, just looking from a scheduling standpoint, because one, you prevented Milwaukee from getting the tiebreaker over you. If the Cavs and Bucks split the season series and everyone holds serve at home, division record is the next tiebreaker, which right now the Cavs are 5-2 in the Central Division, and the Bucks are 4-2 in the Central. And then you look at who Milwaukee plays next. They play Brooklyn, and then they play Boston. Like, no matter what, we're getting some help in the standings in those games, especially if we can take care of business against Toronto. But right now, you're a game back of first, and you're a game and a half up on the Nets. If the Nets lose, you have a little bit more breathing room. If the Nets win, boy, we're going to be even more bunched up at the top of the Eastern Conference. And I'm excited to see kind of those results, but you got a real chance here where the Bucks are either going to have some wins and losses here against other teams that you're in the running against. And if you take care of business on this homestand and you beat Toronto and you beat Brooklyn, you are really giving yourself some breathing room and giving yourself like the opportunity to have a few off nights, because it's going to happen. The Cavs are going to probably have another funk at some point. You're going to see the same overreactions we saw before. I still feel like I want to stick with my 53 win prediction, just because I think the competition is so stiff. Like, look how good Orlando's playing right now. There aren't any easy games any single night. So I think the more wins you can get, the more you can take advantage of when you're healthy, the better position you're going to be in to avoid a second half slide like we saw last year.
Yeah, I mean, the league is just bananas right now. I mean, there's five teams in the East within four games of the one seed. In the West, there are 10 teams within four games of the one seed. My God. So, you know, like, it is just a hyper-competitive league right now. The Cavs are winning the games they're supposed to win, with the exception of, you know, a few outliers earlier in the month, mm-hmm. Earlier in this homestand. But yeah, they are, it's really coming together. I think they're getting to the point now where, you know, when they have their core four out there, they're just so hard to beat, you know?
Yeah.
Especially with, it feels like Darius kind of finding his way again after that slump, as of late. And man, they're just executing at a very, very high level. It's really, really exciting. And as you mentioned, they've cavalry is on the way. Things are not going perfectly. Mm-hmm. Kevin Love's still got to get healthy. Ricky Rubio should be back in tow. So like, if this is the baseline, yeah. If this is the baseline, man, it's hard not to feel really, really good right now.
Yeah, and it's funny because after that Brooklyn game, I just talked about how important division record is. You play Indy, then you play a back-to-back against Chicago. Like, all of these games matter so much, and it's hard to expect a team this young that's still trying to find its groove together to win all of these games. But man, like, there isn't one that I can look at and be like, well, you know, if we drop that one, that's an okay setback game. Like, all of these games matter. And I know you talked about this before, Carter, and I think it's one of your best points, but the addition of the play-in tournament really did shrink the field to 12 teams because everyone is competing so hard to avoid being in that play-in tournament. And I really do think that people that still say that the NBA season doesn't start until football season is over, they have not watched the last couple of years. Like, they've just completely missed the point because these games matter. You can tell these teams are trying harder than they used to at this time of year. And there's just so much meaning and so much significance. And I think ultimately it's making a better product because when teams are trying to this extent, this at this point in the season, you're learning more about these teams, right? Like, you're actually seeing teams grow or fall apart because of the pressure. And I think it contributes to the fact that we do see more talent in the league because the talent is forced to develop in all these meaningful games. It's really, really exciting time to be a fan of the league. And it's just crazy that at a time where the standards have been raised so much in the NBA, our Cleveland Cavaliers are near the top of that mix. Like, that's ridiculous. This is a young team that is still trying to find its groove together. Like, this shouldn't be the case, but I love that it is.
Yeah, it just feels like kind of the second straight year where they're ahead of schedule. Obviously last year was the more surprising ahead of schedule just because, you know, they were projected to win like 30 games.
Mm-hmm.
But with that said, like, they're ahead of schedule again, you know, yep. Like Zach Lowe's talked about is like, remember where a lot of really smart basketball analysts had this team going into the year. They said, you know, hey, they might get up to fifth or sixth if things break well, but they very just as easily could be a 7-8 team, you know, fighting for their life in the play-in. And right now, you know, obviously ton of season to go, but they're 5.5 games out of the 7 seed right now.
Yeah.
They are comfy. Now, obviously, things can always break wrong. They can get banged up, and they can kind of fall back. But, you know, those projections were made assuming everything was going to be, you know, relatively flat across the way.
Yeah.
And I just think that they, even if their title contention odds maybe shouldn't change that much, like, the way we see them in the East standings certainly should.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've talked about it before, but just because, like, I think you and I would both pick Milwaukee or Boston in a series over the Cavs if that day came, but that doesn't mean you can't be better than them in the regular season. Know what the best way to avoid those teams are? Get the one seed. Get the damn one seed and make them fight each other. Like, let's give ourselves the easiest path, right? Like, sure, it may end up looking like a reverse Atlanta Hawks where they get the one seed and then they run into the best player in the league that just takes over in a playoff series because he has more experience and that team's got championship DNA. Like, we might be on the other side of that, but that is absolutely a fantastic situation to put yourselves in, and that should be a goal, right? Like, the regular season is a marathon. It's about consistency. It's not about who on paper or who, if you're having a discussion, is the better team, and we vote on which team's better, right? Like, you have to go out and win these games, and I think it's now when you look at where the Cavs are and how they've managed this first, we're already past a third of the season. they've put themselves in position to be in that conversation and to win one of these home court seats, which is to me the most important thing right now.
So I actually, you kind of brought up a topic that I was thinking about before we went live, and I kind of forgot to get us there till now. So, you know, obviously the first two games against the Bucks, Cavs get out to a big lead, and the Bucks absolutely, you know, boat race them in the third quarter. In this game, the Cavs, you know, get out to a big lead, and the Bucks come charging, and the Cavs, you know, hang on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the tide was pulling, but we hung on to the docks, you know? I still don't feel like... I don't feel like the Cavs, you know, have any sort of edge on Milwaukee right now. I think Milwaukee kind of right now knows they're the better team,
mm-hmm.
and knows that when they play well, they'll come out victorious. I don't feel the same way about the Celtics. I think the Celtics are a better team by, you know, every metric, mm-hmm. but I think both Cavs wins against the Celtics were very well earned and did not feel like a result of, you know, any failure on the part of Boston. I'm curious if you feel, do you feel the same way about facing the Celtics as you do the Bucks, or do you have a team that you feel like, you know, do you feel like there is a differentiation? Because right now I do think there's a differentiation in terms of, not just in terms of matchup, but in terms of how the games have played out. And obviously it helps that the Cavs won most of their games against Boston so far, but I think it goes a little bit more than just that.
Yeah, you're trying to bait me into slander. I can tell you.
I'm not trying to slander. I think Boston would be favored, and rightfully so. I would pick Boston in a series against the Cavs, but I don't feel... I feel a little brother energy right now against Milwaukee, and I do not feel that with Boston.
I do think there's a difference. I think there's a difference in... Giannis is the best player in the league, in my opinion. No disrespect to Jason Tatum. I think he's having a fantastic season, but... stopping Tatum is different than stopping Giannis, right? Like you're, all right, let's make
in the
sure...
sense that it's humanly possible.
Yeah, yeah. Like you're contesting mid-range shots and everything that he does well, right? Like, and they still don't, like, there just isn't that one unstoppable move that they can do. I made a joke on Twitter about running it up the middle with Giannis, but that's what it is, right? Like, he just comes at you over and over again. He's able to get you in foul trouble, which compromises what you do well defensively. I think the Bucks are the best team, and they did that. They're this imposing without Chris Middleton. If Middleton is back, I think he makes them an even better team. And Joe Ingles is going to get healthier and healthier, and I think he helps them a lot as another connector. They have so much shooting talent. They have the championship experience. Like, I give them the edge for all of those reasons when you're talking about those two teams. I feel like Boston would be favored, but I do feel like the Cavs could upset Boston in a series. Like, I think that that's a possibility if they play well. I think there's... I feel better about the ability of Donovan Mitchell to outplay Jason Tatum in a series than I do anyone on the Cavs outplaying Giannis. And, like, it's just one of those things where, you know, the championship matters. Like, I give the Bucks a lot of credit. I just think that that's absolutely the best team in my eyes. And Boston, they still can beat themselves every now and then. And it's easy to say that right now. They're on the middle of a losing streak. They lost back-to-back games against Orlando. They just lost to Indiana. So maybe that informs it. But even from, like, a playmaking standpoint, there's not like that dynamic guard that's so hard to contain that is really going to threaten what the Cavs' limitations are with point of attack defense with Garland and Mitchell, right? Like, I feel like Mitchell can stick with basically any of their guards.
Yeah, and I think that, like, this Boston team is just a higher variance team. They have never, in the past, like, 3-4 years, they don't get to the rim.
Mm-hmm.
They are not a team that lives and dies at the rim, which means that they're a team that lives and dies with jumpers. I think the Cavs are uniquely well-positioned to, you know, lower an already low percentage of field goal attempts at the rim and close out on threes without kind of, you know, breaking the integrity of the defense. And ultimately, I think here's like the simplest way to put it. I think if Milwaukee plays a really good game, the Cavs won't win. You know, like I think if Milwaukee collectively is like on their A game, the Cavs will not win that game right now. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, there's a lot of growth over the course of the season that maybe that could change that. But right now, that's where I feel. I think if the Cavs bring in their A game and the Celtics bring their A game, it's like maybe a 55-45 in favor of Boston. And yeah. like that is super exciting given how freaking good this Boston team is right now.
Yeah, I'd probably give them a little bit more, but I would assume that if you talk to a Boston fan about those two losses...
Yeah, they would hate this bit, by the way. They would hate this.
Honestly, they would probably feel about those two losses to the Cavs similar to how we feel about the two losses to the Raptors. Like, okay, like it's circumstantial, but we feel like we're the better team and we're pretty comfortable with that. Maybe they feel a little differently because the Cavs are up in the standings, not at the bottom of the play-in like Toronto is right now. But, I mean, Toronto's got OG back, right? And they just went to overtime against Philly and beat the Knicks losing streak. So they're looking better. But I don't think that they look at those losses as something like threatening. But it's kind of interesting because with the talent being up across the league, I feel like we're getting back to the point where matchups really matter. It's almost like the rock, paper, scissors of playoff matchups where one team, just because one team can beat another team doesn't necessarily mean that they do well against this other team. And I definitely feel like Boston would have a better chance of beating Milwaukee than we do. I assume you agree with
that. Yes, yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah, so I mean, more incentive to try to get the one seed and make them beat up on each other. Have it be Godzilla versus Kong there, and we'll take whatever is left. But yeah, man, like it's really, really interesting. And I do feel like the Cavs are well positioned, but it's going to come down to experience. And I think that inexperience has shown itself throughout the season. I think it's reflected in some of the Cavs' inconsistency. But it's not like we're the only team that's shown inconsistency, right? Like that's...
Yeah, we're one game out of the best record in the league.
Yeah, and I know it's so easy to fall back on narratives and cliches when you discuss basketball, right? Like when we struggle on the road, it's, oh, well, you know, young teams struggle on the road. But at the same time, everybody does, right? Like that's why I pointed out that the Cavs have the second best net rating on the road. Like sometimes net rating, when you have this big of a sample size already... That could be more indicative of how good a team is than the win-loss record, really, right? Like, it's not something that's unique to the Cavs, but at the same time, you want to go out and you want to execute. You don't want to have those letdown games, and you want to keep testing yourself, right? And I think the Cavs are still at a position where they're playing against themselves, because when they play at their best and they're firing on all cylinders, they can beat anyone. Like, Evan Mobley didn't have a great game tonight. I think you'd call it a
tough game. I mean, yeah. He had five fouls, barely could get on the floor because of it. You know, I don't think he had a bad game by any means, but wasn't really around enough to have a good one, you know?
Right. But my point is, like, in terms of, was this an A-plus game from the Cavs? It wasn't. But they still beat what we believe to be the best team in the league, right? Like, and we've seen Mobley have very big games against the Bucks with Holiday, with Middleton, with Giannis, right? Like, he's done this before, and I love the fact. I thought he was great against Utah. I love that when he gets a mismatch or when he has a smaller defender on him, he's going through their chest. Like, he had a finish in the fourth quarter where he put his body into Giannis and hooked over him, like. That's the type of stuff that's so damn exciting to me. I love the fact that he's not hesitating and still taking three-pointers. I love the fact that he's hitting clutch three-pointers. Like, he just seems to rise to those occasions. And I'm just very excited about his growth. So when it comes to how do we measure up against these teams, it's going to be dictated by how much growth this young team shows throughout the course of the regular season.
Yeah, absolutely. And how good, you know, the players that are in waiting right now come back and return. You know, if Rubio is 95% of last season's Rubio, then man, that's a real floor and ceiling raiser for this team. You know, if Dean Wade comes back and his jumper is looking like it looked at the start of the season, that's a real ceiling raiser for this team. You know, they have all these little levers that they could still pull that could, you know, meaningfully change the trajectory of the team. For good or worse.
Yep.
And it'll be really interesting to see kind of how those things play out. Obviously, you know, I wouldn't expect a 100% hit rate on, you know, all things that are up in the air the rest of the year going the Cavs' way. That's just not how it works. But if enough of them hit, and, you know, the best part about this four-star you know, this core four is that them alone, they are stability for you. You know, they can function as your floor. You know, with those four guys eating 37 minutes a night apiece, you don't need a lot else to go right to be a good team. I think that's what we've seen this season. And on the nights where things are going right, you know, whether that's Jetty against Utah in the fourth quarter, the team won't lose. They just won't lose. So, like, finding more players who can just kind of go off on a given night is going to be really, really valuable for Kobe moving forward. And I think that's got to be, you know, his number one priority, whether it's on the current roster or, you know, out in the marketplace.
God, I forgot that trade deadline is even a thing. Man, I'm excited to have Ricky back. When I saw the report of...
I'm going to smile big when he gets on the floor for the first time.
I had a big, dumb smile, and I was thinking back to that picture of Ricky being really frustrated on the court and, like, Garland draped off him. I think it was Garland and Jetty, just kind of, like, lifting him up and just what he meant to the team. Like, I'm getting really excited. I'm really happy that he's going to be a part of this thing because that small stretch of basketball really meant a lot to me as a fan.
And remember, on the road back to start the year, they asked all the players about what they were looking to get out of the season, and Ricky was the only one who put it all on the table and said, "I'm here to win a championship."
Yeah.
So we know what he's got his eyes on.
Yeah. We've got him on a 3-year deal here. Let's try to get him one over this stretch. That'd be pretty damn cool. We should, before we wrap this thing up, Carter, we should give holiday wishes because this will be our last podcast for a little bit. I think we'll be back after the Brooklyn game on Monday. Does that work for you?
Yeah, it seems like a good time. We can plan this live. I think Monday makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do Monday. So I want to thank all of our listeners for all the support over this last year. You guys have been absolutely fantastic. Whether you celebrate Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever it is, I wish you all the happy holidays and all the best. Also, just want to add, like, this is a really tough time of year for a lot of people. I know even for me, I deal with seasonal depression a lot. Check up on your people. And if you're one of those people that is going through a hard time in the holidays, don't be afraid to reach out to your friends. Reach out to people. There's more people that care about you than you know. And don't make it harder on yourself because I find I try to shut myself in. And sometimes all it is just texting somebody saying, "Hey, I'm in a bad place. You want to hang out?" And can make a big difference. Carter?
Absolutely, buddy.
You got any wishes for our listeners?
Oh,
I'm going to put you on the spot now.
Sure. After your beautiful piece, I'll just say, happy holidays to everyone. Thank you so much for supporting the pod. I'm so glad this team is giving us something to root for, and hope everyone has a good time with their family, friends, or even getting a little much-needed alone time. You know, whatever it might be that you need, I hope you're getting it.
Absolutely. Love you, buddy, and love all of our listeners. Big thanks for all the support you guys give. If you're watching on YouTube, you can like, subscribe, click notification bell so you know when we're going live. If you're listening via podcast, leave us a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. If you want to be part of Chasedown's exclusive Discord chat, send a screenshot of that review to chasedownpod@gmail.com. However you choose to support us, we really do appreciate it. Make sure you guys are staying safe out there. Until next time, go Canes.